You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
That's the main thing. And we are always, I shouldn't say we are always, I a lot of times am always waiting for someone else to do the job. It's just easier that way, isn't it? There's so often in life when, especially if we look at this Acts chapter 1, that the people who were with Jesus are all of a sudden without Jesus. And I think they weren't sure what to do. I mean, Jesus spends 40 days with them after his resurrection. And I like it in the first part of the text when it says he did some proofs. I don't know what kind of proofs he did to prove that he had been resurrected and proofs that he was with them. But he did something along with his disciples to kind of say, yes, I am alive and there is life after death. And then he says, oh, by the way, I'm leaving. And a cloud envelops him and he ascends, right? So he's been with him for 40 days. And, you know, if you're like me, it's one thing to have your leader with you and to feel like I have confidence and I can go where this leader is going to take me because I have him right here, right? He's tangible. I can hold his hand. I can put my arm around him. I can see him. But all of a sudden, the leader is gone and they're left without the leader. Now, there are two angels who, just as suddenly as Jesus is going up, the two angels or two men in white show up. I find it interesting that this is one of those times, almost always in the scriptures, when angels show up, their first words are, don't be afraid, because the people are afraid. This is one of those times where they don't say that. They simply say, why are you looking in heaven? Why are you, Jesus gave you a job to do. Get on with it, right? Don't just sit here, go do something. And the whole idea that in the Old Testament, the words for obey always had the connotation of hearing a word and then causing action. It's the same thing as what we would see in Genesis 1, that when God has a word and says, let there be, and it happens. Creation pops up. However God did that, it just does. Because the word of God, we're told in Hebrews, is living and active. His word causes action. And the whole idea that when Jesus leaves, he's saying, I want you to be my witnesses. I want you to be witnesses where you are here in Jerusalem. I want you to be witnesses in Judea and Samaria. Now, Judea is the surrounding area. Samaria is that was kind of off limits to the Jews because those people were of mixed race up there. They weren't as pure as those Israelites were. And so Jesus is stretching them here. And then he says to all of the world, which obviously is more than just Jewish world, but I want you to go. But before you go, I want you to wait. Now, I could do that here for, I could say, oh, just a minute. Or like, was it last Sunday when our microphones weren't working, you know, and it was like, oh, wait, I've got some, you know, batteries in my office and I'll leave and you guys are just sitting here waiting, right? How long do you wait before you leave? What was the rule in college with the professors? I never listened to those rules, right? 10 seconds, you said? Is that what you said? 10 minutes. Oh, no, that's way too long. Who's going to wait 10 minutes for some prof to show up? Are you kidding? Some goody two-shoes, man, come on. Nah, not me. I never waited 10 minutes. Anyway, that's a different sermon for a different day. You know, we wait. Jesus says, I want you to wait. I want you to wait because what you're going to get. And it's going to be a few days. He does give him that much. But what you're going to get is different from me. I was here personified, walking with you in the flesh. But what you're going to get is the Holy Spirit, who's going to come upon you with power, and he's going to be able to go not only with you, he's going to be able to go in you. So when one of you goes this direction and one of you goes that direction, God's Spirit and power, his confidence, should go with you wherever you go. And you are going to be witnesses of my resurrection, not just witnesses to my life, witnesses to my teaching, witnesses to some of the other mundane things. I want you to be a witness of the resurrection, because that is the one thing that changes everything. To be a witness of the resurrection means that death doesn't win. It means that I don't have to fear what happens tomorrow or the next day or down the road, because I know that there's more to it than what I can see, or more to it than just the tangible stuff that I can grab onto. So I would think that for the disciples, at least if I was one there with Jesus, and Jesus leaves, it's going to be pretty easy for me to say, I think I'll just sit back and I'll let somebody else do that. And then nobody ends up doing it. Rather than each of us taking our own individual responsibility and saying, okay, I guess he has called me to be a witness. And maybe he's only called me to be a witness to the people within my context. Maybe it's just within my family. Maybe as a father or a grandfather, I'm the one who is a witness of the resurrection to my family for the next generation of believers. Maybe it's in my apartment complex that I can be a witness of his resurrection. Maybe it's by doing some acts of kindness for some of them that they might say, why are you doing that? Maybe it's just by looking around and seeing a need and doing something anonymously, because you can. And you reach out to minister to someone else's life, because it's not about us, it's about who Jesus is and what he has done. And in this world where again, with all the COVID stuff around and all the other things that we keep hearing about death and all of the stuff that goes on, you know what? It's great to be a group of people who have nothing to fear, to know that God has more for us in the resurrection, that death is swallowed up by life. And he invites us to be witnesses to that. Now, I don't know, in the text later on, it says that, you know, they had to choose somebody to fill Judas's place, and they went about that, somebody had to, who had been with them the whole time. They had at least two that they put forward, and they threw the dice and it went to Matthias, I guess. I wonder if Barsabbas ever felt bad that he didn't get chosen. I wonder if Barsabbas said, okay, well, if I didn't get chosen, I don't have to say anything. I've been with this group since John the Baptist, and I was a witness of the resurrection too, but I don't have to do that because I'm not one of the 12. I don't think so. I think the church grew exponentially in these early days because all of these people were so excited about what had changed, not only life in general, but their lives specifically, that they continue to grow because their excitement is something that can't be contained. It's something that's living and active, like their faith that God had worked in them. And we sometimes, as Lutheran Christians, we can get pretty passive, especially when we say, well, you know, I got the Holy Spirit up here in baptism. So here at, when I was a little kid, and, you know, I've had the Holy Spirit all my life. And so maybe our Christian life doesn't look all that Christian. Maybe it just looks like a regular life. But there's something about asking the Holy Spirit to guide us, to speak through us, to give us the words when we don't have the right words to say, to give us the courage to speak when we wouldn't have had the courage otherwise. Maybe even the Holy Spirit is going to restrain us sometime when I would have said the wrong things and put my foot in my mouth and given God a bad reputation. See, the Holy Spirit is there so that we can depend on him for his guidance in my messed up life. So that, yes, Jesus isn't there in that same fleshly way, but the Holy Spirit is in us, living so that I can go to a situation and say, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. But you have given me your Spirit. And so because your Spirit is alive and well, now I can go on. I can make a decision. I can love this person that I really don't want to love. I can give this where I wasn't going to give it otherwise. I can do whatever God leads me to do. And the key is that we would depend on the Holy Spirit for guidance, to trust that when he says him that we would obey. There's that non-Lutheran song that says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. A lot of times we pick on that because we don't want to talk about doing things. The trouble is, the scripture all over the place talks about doing things. It talks about having a faith that is alive and causes us to actually live it out and speak about it and not be afraid or ashamed of it. So today, like the song we just sang, God invites us to be the somebody who's going to tell everybody. He wants us to be the people who are witnesses to his resurrection, because the resurrection is the one thing that makes our Christianity different from every other religion in the world. Their prophets are all dead and buried. Ours, if we really believe it, isn't. Oh, he was, but that's the challenge to us. In a new year, in a new way, will we believe what we say we believe and we actually live it out? No matter what comes our way this year, we ought to be able to thank God for the blessings he's given us. And even in the challenges that will come, because they always do, oftentimes it's in those challenging times when we grow closer to God because we're more dependent on him to lead us. When we don't know what to do, it's a place when we're saying, okay, Spirit of God, let me know which way to go, what to do, what not to do. So 2021, will it be any different? It won't be a lot different because it's us living in the same places that we've lived in. Will we be different because of who Jesus is and how he is encouraging us to live life? That's really the question for us. Am I willing to be a witness, to put my hand on the Bible, to raise my right hand and to say, yes, I'm willing to say publicly, yes, I'm a witness from God's resurrection. What he's done in his son Jesus is true for my life. It's true for your life. It is the thing that changes everything. So may God bless us as we look to that, to see who Jesus is and how he has affected us in the way we live. And as we go through this book of Acts, we're not talking about preaching to the choir, you guys who came out on a Sunday morning when you could have stayed somewhere else. We're talking about taking the water and hauling it to the desert, taking it to where the people are thirsty and giving them a drink of something that's going to quench their thirst. Someone who is afraid to live life, to be able to offer them a place where there is no fear and no need for fear. We have something to offer them. May we be witnesses.